You know, a public debate has been going on for a while when you can remind people of it with just three letters, LNG. That stands for liquefied natural gas, the commodity proposed for export at the Jordan Cove terminal to be built on the Oregon coast across the bridge from North Bend. The plan includes more than the LNG terminal. It also includes a 230-mile pipeline slanting across southwestern Oregon from the Klamath Basin to the waterfront. Jordan Cove's original concept was as an import terminal, but the fracking boom came and delivered more domestic gas, so it was reconfigured as an export terminal. A federal commission rejected the plan while Barack Obama was president. The backers reapplied under the Trump regulatory regime. Many permits have to be gained, including several from the state of Oregon, and those will be discussed at public hearings starting next week. This hour, you'll hear from both sides, beginning with the con side, the no side on LNG. Hannah Soule is in the studio with me. She's the executive director of Rogue Climate. Hannah, thanks for joining us once again.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And we also have with us on the line from North Bend, Larry Mankin, who is both a landowner with some property, perhaps in the way of the pipeline or plant, and a retired wildlife biologist. Larry, thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thank you for having us.
So walk us into your story, because you're right there at the center of this all. What is the situation with plant and pipeline as it relates to your property?
Well, you're right. We're on Haines Inlet. Haines Inlet is the most northern arm of Coos Bay. It's about a half mile wide, about 8 miles long, and we are on two of the alternative routes of the pipeline. We're land miles, or as the crow flies, we're about three and a half miles from the actual proposed plant. But two of the alternates would come right through our property. One probably a half mile, quarter mile to a half mile, and the other one under our property. We own some property out in the bay. And we've been on the front line here for about 2 years. We were on the proposed route for a while. Like I tell my friends, we were on the bullseye, but now we're on maybe the next ring out of a target. Mm-hmm. So we're still alert, and we're still very interested, very concerned, and very opposed.
Have there been discussions directly with the people who want to bring the plant and pipeline in? Have you gotten to that point?
Well, they approached us right on, mm-hmm. and we made it very clear, very respectfully, but made it clear that we weren't interested at all. We're not interested in having them on the property with this large pipe, unsafe, we think, nor are we interested in selling them anything. And of course, not eminent domain. So we've just told them respectfully to stay off our property and pretty much left it at that. We've had other discussions, but it's been a tough role for us. And we've only been on this 2 years. You know, there's some people all along the pipeline have had to deal with this for 14 years or more. It's changed our life in the 2 years. I can't even imagine how it's changed folks' lives. In the longer time, values decrease. People can't sell their property without losing money because they have to have a disclosure that the proposed pipeline's on their property. It's us Oregonians, you know, we're scrappy. Us Oregonians are scrappy. We love our land. And we just really resent the fact that Canadians are thinking they can come in for their own personal profit, company profit, and eventually take our land. That's not right. It's not right.
Larry, let's talk about the terms that were discussed here. I mean, were they trying to buy the land? Were they trying to get an easement on the land? What were they seeking, and what kind of price were they offering?
Well, we never got to that point. We just told them we're not interested. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, no money. We're not interested in the money. This land is our paradise here. And but they did. They sent us a letter. You know, they sent us a letter and basically said, you're on our proposal. This was back in March of 2017. We're on the proposed routing. And basically, we want to come on your property. And in the long run, they sent us this little booklet on eminent domain. They said, basically, if you don't sell to us, we'll try to take it through the eminent domain process,
which is like the condemnation process for building highways and things like that.
Exactly.
Often public goods in those cases.
Exactly. There's no public good for this. In fact, what's really amazing, there's not even any gas for Oregonians. All the gas gets shipped overseas, and I'm sure some of your listeners, you know, you're familiar with go to Bi-Mart or go to Freddy's and those little Coleman cans of gas. You know, when you're camping. Oregonians aren't going to even get what's in that for the whole state. There's none. In fact, the only gas that we're really going to get here in Oregon is what escapes the methane gas, which, of course, is a incredibly strong pollutant, 80 times more than carbon.
It's a potent greenhouse gas, yes.
Right.
Larry Mangan, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a landowner in the North Bend area who is, as he describes it now, just in the outer ring of the bullseye for a pipeline route to the proposed Jordan Cove LNG plant. There are hearings coming up next week for some of the state permits involving removal of fill at the plant site, beginning Monday in Klamath Falls, Tuesday in Central Point, Wednesday in Canyonville, Thursday in North Bend, and the following Tuesday in Salem. We'll detail those a little further in location and time in just a moment. Larry's our guest, along with Hannah Soule, the director of Rogue Climate. So this is the no LNG side. You're welcome to join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So Hannah, I'll ask you to do the widening out here from Larry's immediate concerns in the area and talk more broadly about some of the gist of the opposition to the LNG project.
Right. So let me just give you a little bit of context. So after overwhelming opposition from the people of Southern Oregon, this project was turned down 2 years ago by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
Or FERC. Everybody loves to say FERC.
Or FERC, yes. And since it was turned down on its merits, now the company has refiled, and this time they are trying to buy support instead with a multi-million dollar marketing campaign. And here's this Canadian corporation that wants to build a pipeline across private landowners' property under threat of eminent domain, destroy existing jobs, drive up energy prices, jeopardize nearly 500 rivers and streams, create new explosion and fire hazards within our region, and create the largest source of climate pollution in the state. And based on the millions of dollars in mailers and ads that we're seeing here in Southern Oregon, this Canadian corporation is trying to sell this project as if they are our neighbors and our friends, and that as if they have, you know, the best interests of our community at heart. But the truth is, Jeff, that they want to build this project because they are going to make billions of dollars while the rest of us shoulder the risk here in Southern Oregon. And what we're hearing from a lot of people about this new marketing campaign is that they feel like the company is really like insulting our intelligence. This company is not our neighbors. They are not a part of our community. They are a multi-billion dollar corporation from Canada. And it would be laughable if it wasn't so serious and if there weren't so many issues with this project. And that's why so many people in Southern Oregon will be attending these hearings coming up next week with the Department of State Lands.
You and Larry Mangan have both mentioned Canada and Canadians. You're not quite getting to the point of calling them foreigners, but I mean, would it make any difference if it was a domestic company?
You know,
would you oppose it any less, I guess, is the question.
I think we would oppose it just the same. But I think the key thing here is that this is a fossil fuel corporation that is going to make billions of dollars in short-term profit, while the rest of us who actually live here in Southern Oregon are going to be paying or going to be burdened with the long-term risks of this project, risks to our climate, risks to our rivers, risks to existing jobs in tourism, in fishing, in all the things that actually make Southern Oregon work.
Larry Mangan, I want to come back to you because we did mention that this actually began life. The original Jordan Cove plan was for an import terminal, and I wonder if you were approached at that point.
No, we weren't. We weren't on the original route went right up Haines Inlet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the state told them that they couldn't go up Haines Inlet because of cultural resources out there. So then they went up, they were in some other homes across the bay from us, and then eventually, for this iteration, it's originally came out on our property. Can I add something about what Hannah said?
That, sure.
About the Pembina and their outreach, their millions of dollars they've spent on public affairs. They depict, I'm sure most people have seen it, the radio, the TV ads, the newspaper ads.
Direct mailers. I have a couple in front of me here just in the last couple of weeks.
You know, very, you know, nice looking people, very friendly looking people that they want to be our friends. And I'm a volunteer coordinator for the landowners in Coos County that are affected by the pipeline. And they call me when there is a particular issue, and we've got horror stories of how they've been treated by the company. Let me just give you one in particular, a widow, elderly lady that lives alone out in eastern Coos County. She's got a beautiful ranch. I went out there to visit about 3 weeks ago. And beautiful, the Coast Range is in the background. The East Fork of the Coquille snakes through her property. Just beautiful steelhead runs there. But they want to run the pipeline right through her pasture where her cows are, her livestock. She runs about 20 head of livestock. And they want to put this block building in the middle of her property. And what it is, it's a huge device that would automatically shut off the pipe, or they can put these pipeline cleaning devices in. The long and the short of it is they just approached her the other week, and they said, well, do you want to sign now? I'll tell you, if you sign now, we'll make sure that big block valve is not on your property, and we'll put it on one of your neighbors. But if you don't sign right now, we're gonna keep it right there. It's going to be block your beautiful view of the Coast Range. I mean, these are flim-flam people. And the actual agent, the Pembina agent, was Matthew Schultz. And that's exactly what happened. And I can give you a half dozen other horror stories like this, not only from Coos, but from other counties, Jeffrey.
And as a wildlife biologist, I mean, do you have concerns about the project on that basis?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've done a lot of restoration on our property for coho. And this dredging, this millions of cubic yards of dredging, is right in the bay that's important to coho, it's important to the Chinook. And when our kids, we've lived here 30 years now, we raised our kids here. We used to go crabbing out in this area, a wonderful crabbing area. We'd take the kids clamming. That's going to be changed, at least temporarily, if not for the long, that's going to be affected. And the crabbing, you know, that's a huge effect as well. I've been talking with an individual in the crabbing industry, Nick Edwards. He's a local fisherman and crabbing industry executive. And he said, based on his review of the LNG proposal, the bar is going to be closed 400 times each year during high tide. The bar is where all the boats go out to the ocean. And kind of picture it, if you're not familiar with the bar, it's kind of like a door that opens and closes during the wintertime when the crabbers go out. And it's probably one of the most dangerous jobs in Oregon. They have just a short window to go through that door during the daytime. Well, these big, huge tankers, the size of aircraft carriers almost, are going to be coming through, and because of security, that bar is going to be closed only to them for a while. To the fact that they think, and is a quote from Nick Edwards, is that they'll have a huge adverse impact on crabbing. And that's a $150 million or a value to the Oregon economy. Also, with recreational fishing, $68 million, that's going to be affected. And even bigger than that, you know, we're talking about jobs. There's 3,300 jobs in Coos County for the tourist industry, and which generates 101.5 million taxes locally. That's a lot. People aren't going to be coming to the Coos Bay to see a big tank or to see a big tanker. They're coming here to see the beautiful, unobliterated coast. And that's what we have to offer. We don't want a big LNG tank down in some of our most pristine habitat.
LNG is, in fact, the discussion topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. You're hearing from Larry Mangan, a North Bend landowner, retired wildlife biologist, and a confirmed opponent of the Jordan Cove LNG project, which is the liquefied natural gas export terminal and the 230-mile pipeline running to it from the Klamath Basin to the Coos Bay area. There are hearings coming up before the Division of State Lands starting Monday in Klamath Falls. That'll be from 5:30 to 8 at Klamath Community College. Tuesday at 5:30 at the Jackson County Expo in Central Point, Wednesday at 5:30 at Seven Feathers in Canyonville, and Thursday, that's next Thursday, January 10th, 5:30 to 8 at the Mill Casino in North Bend. We have not only Larry, but Hannah Soll from Rogue Climate here on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll get the folks from Pembina up in just a few minutes to talk about the support, the pro side for Jordan Cove. You can join us now on the Jefferson Exchange by phone or by email, jx@jeffnet.org, and phone number is 800-838-3760. There's a couple of things that you brought up, Hannah, when you were discussing the concerns about safety. I mean, if you look at a map of Western Oregon, there are several existing pipelines. What makes this one of greater concern?
Right. So one of the company's talking points is that there are thousands of miles of pipeline in Oregon, which is true. But those pipelines are completely different from what Jordan Cove is proposing. Those are small distribution lines that feed our communities and our homes. What Jordan Cove is proposing is a 36-inch high-pressure transmission pipeline. There are very few of those in Southern Oregon, and there are none that go through the mountainous, high landslide-prone, high fire risk area of Southern Oregon that they're proposing. And these just when Michael Hendricks gets on here, I'm sure he'll talk about how safe these pipelines are. But just a few months ago in British Columbia, a very similar pipeline, a 36-inch high-pressure transmission pipeline, exploded in British Columbia, causing an entire community to evacuate and starting a wildfire. That is the last thing that we need in Southern Oregon right now in our high wildfire risk summers.
Is part of the concern about Jordan Cove also involving, not just the way in which the items are transported, but also what is being transported? I mean, we're talking that the source of a lot of natural gas in this country is coming from fracked wells. Is that part of the concern?
Absolutely, absolutely. The impacts of this project are not only here in Southern Oregon. There's also incredible impacts to our climate and to the health and safety of communities where this gas is being fracked. The gas would come either from Canada or from Colorado, and there are huge health and safety risks to those communities as well. This is not clean energy. This is fracked gas that will be moving through this line for export overseas.
Jeffrey, could I add something to
it? Go ahead, Larry.
It's also the plant and part of the pipeline is right in the tsunami zone and the earthquake zone of the Cascadia huge event that's it's forecast to happen. There's a 40% chance of it happening in the next 50 years. And building, and Michael will tell you, well, we have engineers that will make sure it's absolutely safe. Well, you know, we've heard this before. We've heard it at Three Mile Island. We've heard it at the Teton Dam in Idaho. We've heard it at Chernobyl. This is building this plant on the subduction zone fault line is a fool's errand. That's the only thing I can call it. And sure, they'll tell us, Michael's, I'm sure he's going to tell us, well, their engineers are going to certify it, and it's going to be looked on by a lot of different people. Well, it's just crazy.
So is there any place in Oregon, based on what you just said, Larry, that you would, on the Oregon coast, where you think this would be a good place to have a terminal?
Cascadia fault line runs along the entire coastline. In fact, from parts of Washington all the way on down to Northern California. So to answer your question, no, there is no really safe place for something like that.
And Jeff, similar projects like this have been denied. Multiple projects like this have been denied in Northern Oregon and Northern California. So this is the last liquefied natural gas export proposal that's under consideration on the west coast of the United States.
So what's the strategy you have for the Division of State Lands hearings coming up, and what are these hearings deciding, or what will they help decide?
Right. So Pembina is asking the Oregon Department of State Lands for a removal fill permit to excavate millions of cubic yards of materials from Oregon wetlands and waterways to export this fracked gas. Under Oregon law, the Department of State Lands is supposed to deny permits for projects that jeopardize public health and safety, that are not consistent with the protection, conservation, or best use of Oregon's waterways, or that unreasonably interfere with navigation, fishing, or public recreation. And the Oregon Department of State Lands absolutely can and should deny permits for this project, stopping Jordan Cove once and for all. What we need right now is to transition to clean energy. We don't need steps that take us backwards like this. So we're asking people to show up to these hearings. They're from 5:30 to 8, but we're starting at 4:30 at each location. We'll have information available to folks to help them write their testimony, to hear from speakers, and to grab some food before the hearings actually start. So come at 4:30 to get more information and to get help preparing your testimony, and then the hearings will be from 5:30 to 8. And it is so important that our community show up to these hearings to stop this project once and for all. And there'll be more hearings later on this year that we will also need to show up for, but next week is going to be very, very important.
The death blow to Jordan Cove the first time around was the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission denial. So it was a federal denial. Now, there are obviously lots of levels of state permits we're talking about here. Are things in a different order this time? I don't recall the state hearings before the federal denial last time around.
They're kind of all on their own timelines. Mm-hmm. So right now, Jordan Cove still does not have any of the big permits that they need for this project. So next week, we're going to have some key state permits. We'll probably start having key state hearings. We'll probably start having federal hearings this spring. in March or April, and then we'll have probably some more state hearings later this summer.
All right. So when we talk about go ahead, Larry.
Jeffrey, as you might remember, the last time it was denied because they didn't have any legal contracts with for selling the gas. But even more importantly, from our standpoint as landowners, it was shut down because of the gross amount of eminent domain that would take place. Right now, the Pembina, as I mentioned, some of the horror stories, they're even saying that they've been telling landowners that they've got most of the people, 75% or more. They're going to need 80% of the landowners. And right now, according to our records, we checked all the county records where they have to be legally recorded. They only have 48% of the single private landowners signed up. So that's way below the 80% threshold that FERC is likely going to require for this. So we think they're desperate. We think they're desperate, as shown by all their news ads. Every time I listen at the gym to YouTube, I've got to listen to some of their ads on my iPhone. It's pretty disgusting. And also, they've offered the company the pipeline for sale. They want to get investors now. All of a sudden, 40 to 60% of the pipeline is up for sale. I mean, what does that say? That tells me that they're not willing to handle the risk that is becoming more and more evident.
Hannah Saul, when we talk about removal fill permit, the state of Oregon process that is initiating next week, is that basically just the dredging to get the channel cleared in the land?
It's for both the dredging in the bay, but it also is for every single time that the pipeline would cross a river or a stream or a wetland. So it's for both the pipeline and for the terminal and the slip as well.
And there are many, many of those crossings.
There's almost 500 river waterway crossings. Mm-hmm. So this would be a huge impact to Oregon's waterways if this pipeline were to go through.
All right, before they get away, let me let you know again about the public hearings. That's Monday, January 7th, 5:30 at Klamath Community College in Klamath Falls. Tuesday, January 8th at the Jackson County Expo at 5:30 in Central Point. Wednesday, January 9th at Seven Feathers in Canyonville. Thursday, January 10th at 5:30 at the Mill Casino in North Bend. And another hearing Tuesday, January 15th at the Division of State Lands Office in Salem at 5:30. Hannah Soll is the director of Rogue Climate. Larry Mangan is a North Bend landowner to Jordan Cove and a retired wildlife biologist as well. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
All right, take it easy.